Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Only in America. Where we dream as big as we want to. We all get a chance.
Good morning and welcome to the Tobler Show on a busy Saturday again. It promises to keep you riveted. I know I'll be riveted when we talk to Richard Lyons from the DNA of Democracy at 625. Lots going on in the world of Trump. He was on a winning streak this week. We'll see if he believes Trump, the Trump train, the MAGA narrative will take the day and start to turn things around. Betsy Brantner Smith will join us as well. Of course, Sergeant Smith is with the National Police Officers Association. An officer and a court clerk killed, serving an eviction notice in Independence, Missouri this week. We'll talk to her about that. The fallout from the Kansas City rally and more. Of course, there was the Lake and Riley incident. That just continues to haunt all of us, I know. And, of course, Dr. Bob Onder will be with us. Now, he'll be with us at 7:25 because he'll be right outside, I understand, one of the caucus venues. Of course, it is the caucus for the GOP side of the ledger. For those of you who are heading out there today, Bob will be at one of the venues and be talking to us from there, giving us a little upfront and personal view of what's going on there. Of course, Bob is declared for Congressional District 3 as Blaine Lutkemeyer stepped down just a couple of weeks ago. Surprising announcement. And Bob, along with several other candidates, vying for that seat. So we'll look forward to talking with him. And, of course, your calls welcome all morning, 314-912-1019. We welcome you into the program, invite you to follow us on Rumble or on Facebook. And we don't have Jerome on camera, and I know that disappoints you, especially you young ladies listening out there, because you love to see young and handsome Jerome every Saturday morning. So, but we'll work on that, Jerome. You know, a lot of the ladies out there are really struggling this morning because your mug is not on the StreamYard yet this morning. But a little technical difficulty, but we'll get it one way or another, right?
Yeah, we're working on it as we speak. I promise you, I'll give you all that eye candy I know you want.
All right. Hey, we had a lot going on this week. Let's start with Biden's climate change trip to the border. Yes, I said climate change trip and border in the same phrase. Of course, he went to a pretty well-secured area of the border, an area that maybe even Alejandro Mayorkas could be viewed as being truthful when he said the border is secure. This in response to Trump's announcement several days earlier that he was going to the border. Of course, Trump was going to Eagle Pass and Biden going to an area which was much less crossed and actually fairly secure. There's a little compare and contrast that I found on X, formerly Twitter. Clip 4, Jerome, is that. And you'll hear, this is a little excerpt. Now, he's got, picture this. Joe Biden, speaking to the media, has a number of border agents behind him looking very staid and very solemn, and they all have their badges on, and, you know, it all looks like this is all about the border, right? Well, he decided to interject some other political talk, some issues important to lefties, and then and that's contrasted with Trump, referencing, of course, the porous border and what happened to Lake and Riley. Take a listen.
The idea there's no such thing as climate change. I love that, man. I love some of my Neanderthal friends who still think there's no climate change. Well, my administration is going to keep building on the progress we've made fighting climate crisis, and we're going to keep help folks rebuild themselves.
Just 1 week ago, a beautiful 22-year-old nursing student from Georgia was barbarically attacked, almost unrecognizable, while she was out on her morning run. She was a morning run. She was doing a keep herself in shape. She was a beautiful young woman. She was a great person, best nursing student there was. I spoke to her parents yesterday. They're incredible people. They're devastated beyond belief. But she was beautiful, just so beautiful in so many ways, and brutally assaulted, horrifically beaten, kidnapped and savagely murdered. The monster that charged in the death is an illegal alien migrant who was led into our country and released into our communities by crooked Joe Biden. He's crooked. I took the name away from Hillary.
Well, the contrast couldn't be any more telling, and it couldn't be any more important in this election cycle. I was buoyed by one after another stellar candidate for various offices, local, statewide, national, from the Missouri Congressional district. Bob Onder running for that, along with Mary Elizabeth Coleman down from Jefferson City, the Jefferson County area. And of course, it's a strange district. It spans all the way from, St. Charles all the way sort of across and up through mid-Missouri, southern mid-Missouri. It's a strange district, the way it's been redistricted a couple years ago. But as we heard from candidates, from the Attorney General, from Andrew Bailey, from Bob and others, gubernatorial candidates as well, I was buoyed that, and I told the audience there, I emceed the event, and I told them in my opening remarks, if you look at a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, I can't think of a time when the conservative movement and the torchbearers for that movement, or at least some of whom used to be the former torchbearers of conservatism, limited government, fiscal restraint, power to the individual. I referenced what Abe Lincoln had written back in 1854 that, well, to paraphrase, the government should only do what people cannot do or cannot do well for themselves individually. In other words, the government that governs least is the government that governs best. And one of the things we can all agree on, that while Texas is making heroic efforts to try to do their part in securing the border, a much better job than Joe Biden's federal government, the federal government does have responsibility for the sovereignty of the assembled states, the Republic of States, and securing the border that secures those states, the perimeter within which those states can exercise their small r Republican rights to respond to the needs of their people in the way that the states wish individually. That seems to have been lost on many Republicans. This issue alone, if you look at a strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat, a SWOT analysis, this issue alone should carry the day. And when you look at what Joe Biden did and how he bastardized, and I mean, it's so embarrassing. It gets my hackles up every time I think about it. It's so embarrassing for him. What a vile individual he and Alejandro Mayorkas and all of those who back his blanket parole plan. That is an absolute unbelievable mutilation of what the parole program when it comes to immigration is all about. Individuals who come from outside these United States can make a plea for parole. In other words, basically an amnesty. I mean, basically coming in and because of their horrid circumstances, one by one by one can be given parole on an individual basis, as though a president or a governor would commute a sentence. What did Joe Biden do when it came to Cuba and Venezuela? And I believe one other country. He said, no, you're all paroled. Anyone who comes from those nations, you're welcome to come on in. You get to come in free. You can pass go. You don't have to stop. You won't go to jail. You won't have to pay that fee, to use a Monopoly analogy. You're in. And this Venezuelan monster who came across the border, was not detained, went to New York City, was apparently arrested there, but released because of some sanctuary city nonsense, because of child endangerment. He then heads into Athens, where apparently there, I guess there'd been some kind of a scuffle. And he bludgeons this woman out for a run. taking care of her fitness as she is in nursing school. That issue alone and the images of that beautiful woman and what happened to her as a result, a direct result of Joe Biden's vile, deceitful, America-hating, citizen-dishonoring policies is what led to her death. Can you imagine being her parents this morning? Her funeral just yesterday. And then Joe Biden goes down and makes a climate change comment, totally out of turn, out of place, inappropriate, insulting. Ranchers, homeowners, citizens of towns down there decimated, their properties vandalized, their social service systems cracked and broken. Well, that's certainly one strength. Let's move on to criminality in general. It's rampant across the land. Joe Biden doesn't care. Oh, as long as we're speaking about criminality, let's talk about the two-tier justice system. Perhaps you heard about Steve Baker. I think he was probably on the borderline of being an independent journalist. There's no evidence that he was really in a journalistic mode when he wandered into the Capitol on January 6th. Later, he became a Blaze independent news reporter. But it could be argued, and the videos that Blaze released yesterday prove that he was wandering around. He did not appear to be with the masses. He was taking video footage with his cell phone, albeit with a red hat on. I can't read the verbiage. I don't know if it said MAGA. It could be argued, I think, from a devil's advocate standpoint, that he became conveniently an independent, truly independent, with that as the prime motive for being there on January 6th. But nonetheless, he had made some comments about, oh, if he could have, they would have, he could have, he wish he regretted they didn't steal, or they, if he, they regretted they didn't steal Mitch McConnell's computer. And basically made some very sympathetic to J6ers who were more militant and more kinetic in their actions. Nonetheless, Steve Baker for 3 years has been under investigation. He knows he's been under the shadow of the threat of at least the four misdemeanors that most of the gray-haired and other non-gray-haired individuals who essentially moseyed into January 6th were indicted for and many convicted. There's now 900 convictions or plea deals. Anyway, Steve Baker, who now is a reporter for The Blaze, was taken into custody by FBI and booked yesterday. And the video is all over the internet. You can find it. But basically, here's the travesty. Whether or not he was guilty of a misdemeanor by entering the Capitol without authorization, certainly he didn't go through clearance. And I imagine if you or I went to the Capitol and tried to just simply walk around the security, we would be guilty of some kind of misdemeanor. Let's be honest about it. You could argue whether or not he was a reporter or not. That is beside the point. If you watch the video of him being marched out by two FBI agents in handcuffs with their hand on one of the agents' hand on the handcuff behind his back, and then his head thrust down and into the car as he gets into the FBI transport car, he later reported that he was in shackles in leg irons for a guy who peacefully moseyed around the Capitol taking videos of what was going on and later reporting them. Anyway, that is a strength that we have, this two-tiered system of justice. And it's clear it has now come to everyday American citizens who may have, look, let's admit it, they trespassed illegally that day. Let's just be honest about it. But they've been harshly persecuted, harshly prosecuted, put in handcuffs and leg irons. This man is no more of a threat to be violent against these officers or anyone else than the man in the moon. And they know it. The FBI knows it. This was a humiliating perp walk. That issue, along with border security, and finally the economy, should win the day. And I think it will. Trump is leading Biden in seven swing states, according to a Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. in critical states, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada, and Wisconsin. Across all seven states, 48% of voters back Trump, 43% back Biden. Appears to be strongest in Carolina, where he's 9 points ahead. So I think people are catching on. We're going to be talking about these issues as the morning goes on, and I hope you'll stay with me. When we come back, Richard C. Lyons, who wrote the book DNA of Democracy, and I want to talk with him about first principles, whether Americans are beginning to understand how important they are, how they're being absolutely mutilated and are dysmorphic, unrecognizable in Joe Biden and the left, and, you know, that America. We'll see if we can turn it around, folks. Let's do it today. 314-912-1019. We'll be back on News Talk 101.9-94.1, The Randy Tobler Show.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
We're saving approximately $600,000 a month, $7.2 million a year by giving individuals a card that allows them to buy food or baby supplies, spending $13 a day on food. That's cheaper. That's less food waste. This is a real win-win for us. And the money will go into the local economy, because now we're going to the local stores, supermarkets, where we're going to hire local. This is a smart way to bring down the cost and replace the money back into our city.
Well, that is Mayor Eric Adams of New York City. And, you might think that he was a fiscally responsible Republican saying that we're going to save money by giving people debit cards. That's the biggest mutilation of socialism I've ever seen. Joining me now, Richard C. Lyons, author of The DNA of Democracy, Shadows of the Acropolis, and the Sanctuary City Status that Eric Adams trumpeted. Richard is coming back to boomerang and hurt him. But the way he's flipping around debit cards and what a wonderful thing they are, you gotta pinch yourself to see if you're alive. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Randy. Obviously, the good mayor has never taken a class in economics or arithmetic.
Can you imagine that? Yeah. Can you imagine it? I mean, he's trying to turn it around, and somehow giving debit cards is now a great fiscal act of fiscal responsibility. Your turn.
Yeah, I think it's utterly ridiculous. They're trying to solve a problem by creating a greater problem. These sanctuary cities, the abandonment of the border, the designation of sanctuary states and cities, these are all things, Randy, that are utterly egregiously unconstitutional. We have a system that's supposed to be run by the Constitution. Persons are supposed to execute their duties under the Constitution. And we're finding a commander-in-chief who abandons the border, state governors who abandon their responsibility to protect their citizenry, and mayors who are just now, you know, they're the governors of cesspools.
Yeah, it's amazing. Richard C. Lyons is the author of The DNA of Democracy, Volume 1 and Shadows of the Acropolis, a wordsmith, a poet, involved in printing, publishing, stage, and television production. Richard, I have to ask you, as you zoom out and you look at this scene, the American scene, and you look at the porous borders, the fiscal irresponsibility, rampant crime against property and people, it seems as though the American ethos of liberty in the context of a moral and responsible people, however you want to define that, it seems like that's been lost. Now liberty has been reduced to, hey, if it feels good for me, I'm going to do it and damn the law. Is that a fair construct of what you get in the books?
Very much so. What the books are about is the DNA of democracy is about the virtues, historical virtues, that created our country based on individual liberty and property rights, right? The Shadows of the Acropolis, which is volume two of the series, goes into the last 100 years and the incipient growth of socialism in America. It started with Woodrow Wilson, Randy, and he famously said, you know, the Russians did it wrong. They did it by revolution, creating socialism. We'll do it right. We'll do it by evolution. And they have been. And I call it 1,000 little levies of power and wealth being taken from individuals, localities, and states and concentrated in Washington, D.C. And they're not only doing that, Randy, they're taking away from us or ridiculing our faith. They're ridiculing our morality to our face. They are taking who are sinners and calling them virtuous and taking those who are virtuous and calling them sinners. They're turning upside down the foundations of our society.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. I emceed a Boone County Lincoln Days here in mid-Missouri the other night. And I find myself, Richard, challenging people that are wearing elephants on their T-shirts and who claim to be Republicans. But I'm not sure if we're small R Republicans anymore for the most part, because even the Republicans seem to just think that they can do big government better and that they can right. take a little less of an overhead cut out of what we send to D.C. from the states and give it back to us, because they're fighting to bring that money back. They're fighting for that block grant. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you guys got it all wrong. The whole notion of doing, you know, we quoted Abe Lincoln, the government, basically, I paraphrase, the government that governs least is the government that governs best. But it seems like even Republicans have now fallen prey to centralized power. And it troubles me.
Yes, you've got it exactly right, Randy. Your conception of what our government is correct. The Democrats are trying to take us into socialism in whole. And the Republican Party is split between wanting to be the junior partner of a command and control economy. And the other half is based on constitutionalism, which is adherence to the Constitution, adherence to free enterprise principle. You can't have a free country without free enterprise. It isn't possible. The more the government controls the economy, the more it controls people. And now they're getting to the point where they want to control thought. They want to control speech. They do control education. So we're fighting between a one government party of government that wants to command and control all of society, and then another party of government that is split between wanting to go along and the other half wanting to fight it. So we're in a heck of a fight right now.
And you know what's most frightening to me, Richard? When I sit around the table with people who are really good patriots, folks who understand the issues around borders and fiscal responsibility and claim to be about small government, and I bring up the issue of like, hey, you know, every one of us, me included, sitting around this table, is dependent in one way or another on some government handout, or has been. If you're a farmer, you depend on crop insurance subsidies. If you own property on the coast, you know, you're getting some help there, you know, in hurricane zones. If you're in the medical business, you're getting Medicare and Medicaid money. If you're over 65 or if you're disabled, you're getting Social Security, on and on and on. And I said, have we reached the point where when the rubber meets the road and you have to cast the ballot for the true, Ludwig von Mises candidate, you know, the true right. First principles candidate, are you ready to do that and take a haircut yourself? And boy, it's crickets chirping, Richard. It's crickets chirping. How do we message that in a respectful way?
Well, you know, they tried to do it with Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan tried to do it with what was called the Grand Bargain under David Brock, where they were going to reduce the whole of the federal government they were targeting 5%. And by the time they went through everybody's own issues, everybody's own takes out of the federal budget, they were finding resistance from Republicans. Because we have a system where all the wealth goes into Washington, and then Washington parcels it back out so that Washington can control who gets what, and everybody has a dollar in the game, just as you said. If everybody has a dollar in the game, they will protect the entire budget of the federal government. Mm-hmm. In order to protect their dollar, they'll protect the whole budget.
And that's the problem.
Yeah,
has the teeter tottered? I mean, have we gotten to the point, Richard, where all we can do is try to slow down the onslaught of socialism, or will it take socialism and then communism's ultimate collapse, which will happen? It's not if, it's when it happens. It happens across the globe. It's happened and it will happen again.
Yes.
Is it going to take that kind of a plunge into the ashes and then the phoenix of first principles, small government, emerge again?
I think it's going to take a public, and thank you for what you're doing, Randy, because you're voicing it very well. It's going to take a public who understands exactly where we are today. And it's why I wrote these books, is that I found through research this massive growth in government that is not going to stop unless everyone's aware of what's going on and votes accordingly. We need to get back to where states... Go back to what you were talking about the mayor of New York City. The people of New York City should be made to pay for that mayor's decisions, not persons in Idaho. We need to take back the concept that blue states have to pay for themselves and their own derelictions. When we get to that point where persons in red states want to keep their tax base for funding their own states and keep their own fiscal responsibility without sending money out of their state to fund the ridiculous policies of California, that's a good basis for the argument to start right there.
Well, I think that is such sage advice. I mean, and you know, I think there is hope. I still hold out hope. I look at the examples in Tennessee with no income tax. I mean, one of the first folks I know who immigrated to Tennessee was none other than Art Laffer. I mean, the genius behind the Reagan revolution, right?
Yeah, he was the genius behind Ronald Reagan's economic good sense and David Brock's grand bargain.
Yeah.
Started that. And he's a genius.
And if so many people look at that, if people that are, you know, maybe conversant with the issue of how it just isn't fundamentally or morally right to punish people for productivity, that's defined as the income tax. And why do we do that? And
the reason is, Randy, because they want that control in one city of our country, and that's Washington, D.C. There's a reason why that area is one of the wealthiest areas of the world, because they decide who benefits and who doesn't benefit from tax policy. And we've got to take a serious look at that and just educate people as you do in what that means. It means people from Idaho who are virtuous are paying for the derelictions of California's government. And it's wrong.
And what
taking real
what tickles
and giving it to entitlements.
Yeah, what tickles me about your books, The DNA of Democracy and Shadows of the Acropolis, are the historical prism through which you're looking at things. Because, I mean, you know, it's a trite phrase now, but if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it, right? And I think it's so important that people recognize and read these books and realize that when they talk to their politicians, when they're at a fundraising event, before you sign the check, ask your politician friend, are you just giving lip service, politician X, Y, or Z, to you know, the talk about limited government and so forth? Or are you just, you know, is that just rhetorical? What do you intend to do? And you know, I just think it gives it much more power and verve when you refer to the failed societies that were free and then failed because of centralized power. Okay, so you're a wordsmith. You're a publisher. I am existentially concerned about what AI and its ability to absolutely veil reality as far as information as we're in this election cycle. What's your advice for folks who are confused as to what they're viewing online, and is it real or not? I mean, how do we know what to believe?
Well, we've had one party of government in Washington who has been issuing propaganda now for years, and AI will perfect it through imagery, won't it, Randy? So if you're the editor in charge of imaging and you're the public who is intaking these images, you really have to question. You have to question the source. And the major media of this country have proven themselves to be great liars in the past 8 years or so. They lie extremely well. It was Joseph Goebbels who said, Randy, if you lie consistently enough, you can convince people that a circle is a square and a square is a circle. Well, now they have those images themselves, and they can show you a square and call it a circle, and everyone in the world will call it a circle. So they will say that we are a democratic society. They will say that we are free. But in fact, if you go to first principles, we're not.
Yeah, I'm to the point where unless I can read a politician's mouth, or, you know, watch his lips and hear what comes out of them or her, or get a handwritten response to my request or anymore, I don't know. And that's what I would advise people to do. Be very, very careful what you believe or what you see and hear and what you believe. Hey, I hope we can stay in touch from time to time, Richard, as things go on, and pick out these various issues and put them in the context of your brilliant writing on the DNA of Democracy and Shadows of the Acropolis. I'd recommend everyone get that to keep their compass true north. Because God Almighty, we have so many magnets pulling up in different directions. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate
it. Great to be with you, Randy. Thank you.
All right. There he is, Richard C. Lyons, the DNA of Democracy and Shadows of the Acropolis. This is an election which, unlike any other, I think, has so many different moving parts and so many opportunities, but at the same time, threats to success of the conservative movement and restoration of, well, let's just call it libertarian conservatism. I think conservatism these days has just become, you know, reined in big government under many Republicans. And maybe it's going to take incremental change step by step by step, but we need to see something start. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fiscal cliff, which was again avoided, whether Mike Johnson is making valiant and valid attempts to do what needs to be done or not. And take your phone calls. Can we reel it back in? That's the question on the table. 314-912-1019. More when we come back on the Randy Tober Show. We need to talk about where the Republican and conservative movements are going. We are almost assuredly going to have a Donald Trump candidacy, right? I don't think Nikki Haley's going to have much to say. Maybe she's making a play for 2028. I don't know. I don't mind her voice being in the mix. I think keeping Donald Trump on task, on target, is an important thing. It's probably a role that all of us as erstwhile supporters, more or less zealously, it's our responsibility to keep him on target and hold him accountable, as it is every representative of our vote and our sentiment, right? Because the president still represents what the people want. What the people vote for, at least a plurality in later times. But House Speaker Mike Johnson's been taking a lot of the heat because of, again, kicking the can down the road. But if you think about it, it's like trying to turn a big cruise ship at full speed ahead, heading towards that veritable iceberg, and turning it around. You don't do that on a dime. I mean, we'd all like to have these gargantuan, monumental shifts in policy, but that's not the way it works in our constitutional republic. Mike Johnson said he wants to turn the page on the current spending fight and shift the focus to next year's appropriations cycle. Now, the vote was taken, and in fact, they agreed to do a stopgap bill, and they broke it into a couple of, you know, buckets of appropriations bills. That's at least a first step. And I keep thinking about what Ronald Reagan said. Look, if you get 80% of what you want, that's a good thing. We need to continually vocally talk about what is best while we head for at least better. These days, good would be a good thing because it's so rancid and stinky and putrid right now with what's going on. It's almost like there's this big pile of Bravo Sierra in the middle of your carpet that your dog just laid there. That's what the Democrats, what the progressives, what the squad, what Obama's puppets pulling the puppet, puppet masters pulling the puppet Joe Biden. That's what they've done. They've left a big steaming pile of Bravo Sierra, as my friend Gary Nolan likes to say, on the carpet. Well, that stench that fills the room that stain on the carpet doesn't get eliminated by just picking it up and throwing it in the toilet. You got to get out the Febreze after you clean up the stain and you get out your steamer. We have dogs. I have one of those little portable, carpet cleaning machines. Yeah, I go at it. That's the first thing. You got to go at it with that. And then you put up the Febreze and sooner or later the stench goes away. But we're dealing with a big steaming pile of you-know-what from this federal government. And sometimes from the state with an expanding budget that ballooned last year. But at the federal level, we've got to clean up the mess first. And then, so by Johnson turning things around slowly, getting what he can get, sending a message that we need to try to break these things up into individual spending bills. I think I know why there's not enough Republicans to make that play and not enough responsible Democrats, because there are Democrats in vulnerable districts in the House that could do it if they wanted to. You know why politicians don't want to do it? I'm going to ask Bob Onder when he joins me at 10 after 7 or 5 after 7. I think politicians don't want individual appropriations bills because they don't want to load the gun for their opponent in the next election. That's what I think it is. They don't want to give opportunities for someone to say, I voted against expanding food stamps, because food stamps are a part of the agricultural bills and the food bills, and when those come through, that affects farmers. And if I'm in if I'm up in Troy or out in Macon or up in Hannibal area, I don't know, a lot of farmers around there. I can't be seen as wanting to cut back on food stamps, because the food stamp program is part of the big USDA program. And you see what I mean? It's much easier if you have 8 or 9 of these bills or more, these spending appropriation bills that are all bundled into one. And so you can say, well, look, I had to vote for, welfare and expansion of student loans and expansion of, more defense spending so that we can support Ukraine and more, Medicaid spending. I had to do that because it had the farm bill in there, and the farm bill is important to all of you in my district. Even though I know you don't like Medicaid, you don't like, all of that, you see what I mean? So I think it becomes a very clever way to cloak individual bills. The heads of House and Senate Appropriations Committee struck that deal on Wednesday, and it kicked the can down the road. But it's a tough lift when you don't have a healthy majority in the House. You have wavering members who maybe are in purple districts and are vulnerable. And at the same time, you've got the Senate, which is a disaster. Now, Mitch McConnell stepped down or will be stepping down in November. It's time for Mitch to go. Mitch is part of the old system where a lot of horse trading goes on. There was a time for that. I think there's a certain element of that that comes with being in a constitutional representative republic. I get that. But I think he knows, I wish Joe Biden would recognize it, there's a time when you move forward. And it's his time. Now, who's going to take over for him? He cleverly is doing this in November. Possibly, I don't know, I don't read his mind, but possibly because he wants to replace with another sort of establishment guy. Could be, because if he just waited until let the new Congress in January make in the new GOP caucus in the Senate make that decision, then when it has a different face and it may be much more populist, much more, we hope, small R Republicans, that would be good to see. Don't know if it's going to happen. But let's not forget, let's look at what Mitch McConnell did. If nothing else, can we all agree that Mitch McConnell deserves credit for the Herculean work that he did in the wake of Antonin Scalia's death and Merrick Garland's nomination, quashing that for a whole year, and then, of course, the activities that by by essentially using their own medicine on them, you know, the simple majority to get three relatively conservative Supreme Court justices, affirmed. Good for Mitch. We need to give him credit for that. But it's time that he moved down. We hope that we get some more conservative leadership coming out of the Senate, truly conservative leadership with a more militant stance and not enough, not getting along, going along to get along with Chucky Schumer. It's got to stop. Just got to stop. Hey, the caucuses are starting today. Are on today for the GOP. If you want to get out there today, I understand they started. I think registration probably has already begun, if I'm not mistaken, will begin at 7 o'clock in some venues, 8 o'clock in others. But make sure that you get out there and participate in that. I think it promises to be an interesting event, and I don't think there's any doubt in Missouri who's going to win the caucus, but it becomes a better opportunity, I think, to talk about making sure that our elected officials, whether it's Donald Trump or whether it's your local school board member, sticks to the principles of local control. Your voice matters. Elections mean something and they have integrity. I mean, there are candidates in this state that are vying for the Secretary of State office. We have to be, you know, what are you about? Are you about paper ballots? Are you about hand counts if necessary? Where do you stand? We have several candidates for the Secretary of State. When it comes to the governor, are you a small R Republican? Are you a big R Republican? Are you a big government Republican that just claims to do, that just, promises to do big government better? Remember, the closer that government and that money and that control of that money stays to you, the better off it is. And you should only divest control of your money and your power as the individual to a larger authority, a larger denomination of government, when you can't do it for yourself and only government can do it. I think that's roads, bridges, of course, that makes sense. On the federal level, national security and sovereign borders makes sense. A functioning justice system makes sense. We have an absolute disaster in the justice system now. If you look at the perp walk that they made Steve Baker, a reporter for The Blaze, and at the time of J6, at worst, a participant in the J6 stroll through the Capitol. Most people followed those who were violently entering the Capitol, who broke into the Capitol. And anyone that wants to bait, we had at the end of the last show, we had a guy that said that I had it all wrong on J6. I don't think I have it all wrong. There were people who violently broke into the Capitol, just like someone would break into your house by breaking a window, knocking down a door. Those people need to be prosecuted. Just as if they'd have broken into the five and dime that your brother owns. It doesn't matter. But then there were people that walked in and followed in. Some were essentially allowed in by the Capitol Police. I think at that point, I think it changes the game. It changes the game totally. Those people probably should not be prosecuted at all. But if you're going to prosecute them, the government should not make visual perp walks out of them. That's got to stop. And it looks like we're running late here. So I went on too long. But we won't go on too long with Bob Onder because he'll have to... He's going to be participating in the caucus, but ahead of that, he'll be joining us at 7. I said 7:06. He'll be with us at 7:25. But when we come back at the top of the hour, I want to talk about what the government is now calling illegal aliens. You won't believe it. More coming up. Stay there.